Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
This morning, I want to kind of maybe continue with the parallel thought of where we were kind of last week. Last week, we dove into kind of the thought of take it or leave it, all right? Take it or leave it, not as a non-negotiable deal, but kind of that phrase as a question of intention. Again, we kind of talked about gearing up for the new year to come for 2020. And in doing that, we need to examine our lives and consider what it is that we're going to take forward with us into that new year, that new beginning. And then at the same time, we need to be considering what it is that we're going to leave behind. How many knows not everything needs to be taken forward? Amen. Some things need to be, again, left behind. And last week, we kind of focused more on taking forward certain qualities, traits, or characteristics, like being found faithful, and not just being found faithful, but being found faithful in our assignment that God has given us. Again, whether or not that assignment may be old or new, as we consider the cost of striving to complete our assignment by choosing to take the necessary initiative or actions with a heart and a mind that says, I am willing and ready to be a servant, all right? And we know that those are all good qualities and characteristics that we find within our Heavenly Father. We find them within our Savior. And we know today that we need those same things in our lives. We also, in that same process, took into consideration leaving behind basically anything and everything that could possibly weigh us down or become a distraction and keep us from living out God's assignment for our lives. Essentially, we would be refusing or renouncing those things that would pull us away from what his desire would be for our lives. And a lot of times we think about that being we need to only discard things that are evil or sinful. And yes, that is probably the majority of the things that we need to leave behind. But sometimes, how many knows we need to leave behind some good things if they're causing us to be distracted and if those good things are pulling us away from where God has us going? Amen? So it's not just those things that are, quote, inherently evil or sinful, but sometimes just those things that pull us away and they keep us distracted, they keep us from not living up to our full potential in Christ Jesus for what he has done for us in the assignment, all right, the purpose, the harvest field he has placed us in. So this morning, I want to kind of stay in that parallel, line of thought, if you will, this morning. And probably some 4 to 5 weeks ago in Sunday school, we were looking into the life of King Josiah. And the Lord really just began dealing with my heart kind of about family history, if you will, and how it can impact future generations. How many knows what we do today can impact our children and our grandchildren and even our great-grandchildren? And so these things just kind of really began to run around in my heart and my mind, but also how not just that what we do impacts the future, but how God can bring us out and away from a negative family history, all right? How many can look down in your family history and say, well, that wasn't good? Maybe you guys don't have that. I have all of my family basically originated from Eastern Kentucky and Arkansas. All right, enough said. All right, so I can look back and say there's a shady history, all right, on both sides of the tree, all right? Now, with that in thought, I want to take us to 2 Kings because I want to read a few scriptures and to look at the life of Josiah, if you will, all right? 2 Kings chapter 22, I'm just going to read verses 1 and 2, and then we'll kind of put the rest of it in order here, all right? It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began his 31-year reign in Jerusalem. His mother was Jedidiah, daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. He did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of David, his forefather, and turned not aside to the right hand nor to the left. So here we have a young man who has assumed the throne at a very, very young age. And the very first thing that is really spoken about him is how he has done what is right in the sight of the Lord. And we think, well, what can an 8-year-old do to mess that up, right? But there's a little bit more to that, all right? And so what we see is that he began to draw resources from his past. And while he was drawing a resource from his past, going all the way back to his forefather David, which there's some 14 or 15, I guess, great-grandparents in there. I don't know how that would exactly work out, all right? But Josiah, he had a position that God had placed him in, and then he had some choices to make. And the reason that I feel like this has stuck out in my heart is because he really didn't have a good example. The reason that he kind of went back to David was because those who had gone before him in the most recent years really weren't people that he apparently wanted to model his life after. If we read this again, if we just read these two verses without understanding Josiah's family history, we would probably say, well, good for him. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. What's the big deal? That's to be expected. So I want to kind of give just a brief, if you will, this morning, understanding and try to create a picture of what his life would have potentially looked like. Because his father, Amon, all right, he was not a good man, all right? Basically, he was only king for 2 years before Josiah took over as king. But he was such an evil man that his own servants decided to execute him, all right, for his wickedness. 2 Kings chapter 21, verses 19 through 22 says this: Amon was 22 years old when he began his 2-year reign in Jerusalem. His mother was a really long name, daughter of Haraz of Jobath, all right? But he also did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. He walked in all the ways of his father. He served the idols that his father served and worshiped them. He forsook the Lord, the God of his forefathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. So here Josiah's immediate example of how to be a king, of how to be a father, of how to be a godly man, if you will, was not a great example, and he was kind of taken out of the picture very quickly. But if we go to the man before him, if we go to Manasseh, all right, who would have been Josiah's grandfather, all right, he ruled, actually, I think, as the longest king over Israel for 55 years, but it wasn't necessarily a good 55 years. And I want to try to encapsulate it with just a few verses here. So if you will, let's go to that same chapter, 2 Kings chapter 21, and we're going to read a few verses from that beginning in verse 2. It says, he did what was evil in the Lord's sight, following the detestable practices of the pagan nations that the Lord had driven from the land ahead of the Israelites. He rebuilt the pagan shrines his father Hezekiah had destroyed. He constructed altars for Baal and set up an Asherah pole, just as King Ahab of Israel had done. He also bowed before all the powers of the heavens and worshiped them. He built pagan altars in the temple of the Lord, the place where the Lord had said, my name will remain in Jerusalem forever. He built these altars for all the powers of the heavens in both courtyards of the temple of the Lord. Manasseh also sacrificed, verse 6, Manasseh also sacrificed his own son in the fire. He practiced sorcery and divination, and he consulted with mediums and psychics. He did much that was evil in the Lord's sight, arousing his anger. Verse 9, but the people refused to listen, and Manasseh led them to do even more evil than the pagan nations that the Lord had destroyed when the people of Israel entered the land. Verse 16, Manasseh also murdered many innocent people until Jerusalem was filled from one end to the other with innocent blood. That was in addition to the sin that he caused the people of Judah to commit, leading them to do evil in the Lord's sight. Now, how many knows that he jacked it up? All right. He is recorded as the worst and the most evil king that Israel or Judah had ever had rule and reign over them. And so these are the individuals that most closely were, quote, pouring into Josiah's life. When Hezekiah passed away, Josiah would have been about 6 years of age. And so he had only a short time but enough time to know that between what dad did and what grandpa did, I don't know that that's how I want to do things, all right? And so he decided within himself to do things just a little bit different, all right? Now, most people wouldn't have given Josiah a chance in the world. Most people would have looked at him and most people would have said, you know, I'm sure that what he's going to do is he's going to do this just like his dad did this. He's going to do this just like grandpa did this. And what we're setting ourselves up for is another failure because he's going to do the same evil. He's going to promote the same evil that his father and his grandfather had done. You see, maybe you found yourself maybe in a similar type of place, living under the shadow of maybe an unfortunate family history or maybe just an unfortunate family event. Maybe it was singular, all right? And nobody is expecting you to do any better or be any different from the ones who have gone before you this morning. Maybe this morning you just feel like you can't outlive that family name or break away from the characteristics and the traits that are maybe associated with it. Now, maybe today we're like, well, that's not me because I was raised in the best house with the best parents, and I'm one of the best people you'll ever meet. I want you to listen to me this morning too, okay? You see, maybe today you kind of feel like Lamentations 5 and 7 is your life's motto in one way or another. It says, our fathers sinned and are no more, but we bear their iniquities. Has there ever been that issue in life where you thought, you know what? I'm just this way because they were this way. I'm inclined to this because they were inclined to that. We get a lot of that in our culture today that, well, I'm broken because my parents were broken. I'm messed up because not only were my parents messed up, but my grandparents were messed up. You see, I have a taste for alcohol because they had a taste for alcohol. Or I have this issue with anger because they had this issue with anger. And so I think there's things that sometimes we carry in our lives that we say, well, this is just a part of our family name. This is just a part of our family history. This is just an issue of maybe a generational curse. And I don't know that it's ever going to go away because that's just how things are. You see, after all, God made it quite clear from the beginning when he had begun to lay down the law for Israel, how this would work. If we go to Exodus chapter 20 and he's beginning to give them what we would classify today as those 10 commandments. When we look at verse 5, it says this, you must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. Now you would think, well, man, I haven't rejected him. So that doesn't apply to me, but that word means not just those who would kind of reject him, but those who have sinned against him as well. And how many knows we've all fallen short and sinned? You see, so we can look at that and think, well, man, there really, what's the point? There's no hope in that. We look at that and maybe today then that resonates a little different with us. Our fathers sinned and are no more, but we bear their iniquities. So maybe we begin thinking about that and we think, you know, I don't know. When you look at that word bear, it means to not just bear the load of, but to drag something along with you. So we're dragging along iniquities. We're dragging along these consequences and these punishments from days gone by of things that we ourselves maybe weren't invested in, that we didn't commit, that we didn't sow. Now, how many knows what the Bible says, what you sow, you will reap, all right? So I'm not saying today that if you sin, that, you know, sin is, you know, it's just going to go away. How many knows it can only go away by being covered by the blood? And how many know sometimes the stupid things we do have stupid consequences? And even though Jesus Christ has forgiven us and he's covered us with his blood, we have to live through the stupid consequence, all right? And he gives us the grace, right? Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Okay, so I'm not eliminating that this morning. Please don't misunderstand. But I think sometimes we begin to think of stuff in this light and we begin to think, why should I even try for something better? What's the point? Why should I hope for anything different? If dad and mom struggle with this, And grandpa and grandma struggled with this, and great grandpa and grandma struggled with this. Why should I feel like I can do anything different or be different or experience anything different when that is just how it has been? And I don't know about you. I don't know what you've lived through and what your family history looks like. But you see, Josiah made a choice to move forward and to do what was right in the sight of the Lord to the very best of his ability as he knew to do it with the information that he had. And in that process, he chose to remove himself from kind of his family name, if you will, this morning. He chose not to bring it with him, and he chose not to bring the things associated with that when he moved forward into the position that God had assigned him for. And he decided that he was going to love and serve God to the very best of his ability, even if he didn't know what that meant in its totality. But he looked back and he said, well, David was a man after God's own heart. And so I'm going to start modeling what I can off of this man named David. And I'm going to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. How many knows this morning we all have a choice? Amen. Each and every day that we wake up, we all have a choice, regardless of where we are right now, regardless of where we were last week, last year, 10 years ago, we still wake up every day and we have this beautiful God-given choice to live today better than we lived yesterday. Amen? You see, we too have to make that choice to move forward and refuse to carry with us the negative characteristics and or attributes that may have existed within our family history. And again, maybe this morning you would say, but Pastor, I've been predisposed. Oh, you don't understand. I've been predisposed to substance abuse. I've been predisposed to pornography. I've been predisposed to anger. I've been predisposed to poor health. Can I tell you that you need to forget about what's predisposed and remember that you've been purchased this morning? Amen. Forget what's been predisposed and remember whose blood it is that covers you this morning. But Pastor, you don't understand. I come from a long line of divorce. I come from a long line of multiple marriages. I come from a long line of UK fans. I mean, Lord, help me. You don't understand. You see, I'm a bad parent because I had bad parents who had bad parents who had bad parents. It was a little bit of humor interjected, I apologize. But you get the point this morning. You see, the good news for us today is that we don't have to drag along and we don't have to continue to carry the iniquities of those who have gone before us. But you say, but Pastor, it's in the Word. You just read it in Exodus 20 and verse 5. And there's bound to be more verses that say the same thing, and there it is. But can I tell you today, something has changed and there's a little bit different. You see, today we don't have to be subject to the law that would punish us even to that degree of third and fourth generations. We don't have to do that today because today for you and I, we have a new and a better covenant through Christ Jesus. Amen. You see, Hebrews 9 and 15 says, so Jesus is the one who has enacted a new covenant. Everybody say new covenant. With a new relationship. Say new relationship. With God, so that those who accept the invitation will receive the eternal inheritance he has promised to his heirs, for he died to release us from the guilt of the violations committed under the first covenant. Do you know what that means? That means that your father's, mother's, grandfather's, grandmother's sins, they don't count against you. If you say, Father, I commit my life to you through your son, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of my sins, erased. You see, this morning, we don't have to suffer those things. Hebrews 12 and 24 says, and we have come to Jesus who has established a new covenant with his blood sprinkled upon the mercy seat. Blood that continues to speak from heaven. Forgiveness, a better message than Abel's blood that cries from the earth, justice. How many knows today we're not looking for justice because we can experience forgiveness in Jesus Christ through that new covenant. Galatians chapter 3 and 13 says, says, yet Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. There was no bargaining. There was no negotiation. He just walked up and he paid every penny to the full so that you and I could be free from the curse of the law that said, no, this is going to continue generation to generation, three and four generations deep. No, he said, I've come and I've removed that. I've broken that. You don't have to experience or carry or drag along the sins of your parents or your grandparents anymore. I have paid the full price and set you free from the curse of the law. It says he absorbed it completely as he became a curse in our place. For it is written, everyone who is hung upon a tree is doubly cursed. He took everything that was necessary for us to not have to experience family histories and generational curses that would cause us to carry things that are unnecessary in our lives or pass them to our children or our grandchildren or our great-grandchildren and so on and so forth. You see, this morning there is a freedom in Christ that we need to grab a hold of as we decide what we're going to be taking forward and leaving behind in 2019. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14 says this, for we've been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means that we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power, the power that raised him from death's realm. This realm of death describes our former state. I want you to understand that this morning, that there was a former state, all right? And where those things that would plague you and say, this is your family history, this is your family name, this is your generational curse. This morning, if you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's a former state. It's a, say former with me. He says, but now we've been resurrected out of the realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven of all of our sins. He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed on to his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. What of any of that makes us feel like we have the right to carry mom and dad and grandpa and granny's baggage forward? Leave that junk behind. You weren't coddled enough? I apologize. But love your children in a way that you never experienced love. And you can because you have a heavenly Father who shows you that example of undying love. Mom and dad battle with alcoholism. Guess what? You don't have to be tempted with that today. If you will place your life in Jesus Christ today, you can be the one who breaks that generational curse and says, my children won't have that same flavor and neither will my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. You see, you have to stand in the place of what you have been given through Jesus Christ today. And when you stand under his blood and his power through his name, the curse is broken. The family history is there, it's recorded, but it has no bearing on your present or your future. You see, we need to understand as we move forward today that we do not have to bear or drag along that past history that has any form of a negative or sinful connotation to it at all. Not a single bit of that has to go forward. And we have the power to surrender it if we will do so this morning. Generational curses have to bow and flee from the name that has broken every curse this morning. I've had people tell me, well, aren't you terrified that one of your girls is going to get cancer like all, you know, the other people in your family? No, I'm not. Because I have refused. Well, you can't refuse cancer. Why can't I? Jesus Christ said that he came and that he took stripes upon his back for healing. Why would I speak anything else over my life and over my children's life but healing? Amen? Come on. We need to stand up and we need to be cognitive of what we need to actively leave behind and what we need to take forward. And what I'm taking forward is the name and the blood and the power of Jesus Christ, and I'm leaving everything else behind. Amen? There's a quote from the movie The Last Jedi, and I don't need any feedback on this because I'm not a movie buff. All right, so don't write that nasty email. I know this is not biblical at all, but it follows where we are this morning. And the guy's name is, I think, Kylo Ren. If I'm wrong, I've got plenty of Star Wars buffs to tell me I'm wrong. But the quote is this: let the past die, kill it if you have to. You're like, oh, that sounds cool. Yeah. Let the past die, kill it if you have to. Well, the rest of it goes like this: that's the only way for you to become who you're meant to be. And I agree with this statement in terms, but can I tell you this morning that we don't have to kill our past because Jesus Christ has already nailed it to the cross? He's already openly shamed the enemy, and he says, hey, you've got no power. You've already been disarmed. What do you think you're doing? You see, this morning, we don't have to do anything because Christ has already done it. But what we do have to do is find ourselves in Christ, because that is where we are changed. That is where we will be, we will find the meaning and the purpose and be able to be fulfilled and do and become who we are meant to be in Christ Jesus this morning. Amen. I want you to stand with me this morning. Josiah walked away from all of the negative family history and generational issues that had gone before him. He walked away from a minimum of 57 years of complete and unadulterated, ungodly dysfunction. He walked away from all of it. King Josiah is one of those individuals, when you read his story from a biblical perspective, a lot of times you will see where kings did good at the beginning and then they failed miserably at the end. But Josiah is one of those individuals that he started out well and he just kept getting better. And when it was all said and done, he is revered as one of the great kings of Israel. You see, today we have a choice. He did what was right before God. He ushered in a season of spiritual repentance and restoration and renewal for Israel and for Judah, because he refused to bring the negative history forward with him. He refused to bring the generational issues forward. He said, no, I'm going to do things different. How much can we do better today because of Jesus Christ? How much more can we succeed in that same endeavor because we have God's word in its completeness? How much more can we succeed today because we have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us? You see, today we have to make that same choice that Josiah made. Just imagine what God can do through us today if we would only be willing to leave the past in the past and leave any and everything written against us nailed to the cross. So many times I think we walk back and we pick it up because we think that we have to have that. Like somehow that's our burden for life to carry. Can I tell you, God doesn't want you carrying those burdens this morning? And not just of your fathers or your grandfathers or before, of your own. I can tell you this morning that I haven't done everything right as a husband. I haven't done everything right as a father. I haven't done everything right as a son, as a pastor. But can I tell you that when I take those things before God and I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over them and I repent and I ask for forgiveness, and I change the way I think about that situation, and I align my heart and my mind with God's word, and I move forward, can I tell you that God's not bringing that forward, so why should I? You see, we have that choice today. Each and every one of us, we have that choice. Take it or leave it. Do I bring it with me? Or do I say, hey, this is about time we part ways? It's about time I experience real joy in Christ Jesus. It's about time I experience true freedom. It's about time my family experiences some joy and some freedom. You see, the choice is ours today. I can't make it for you the same way that you can't make that choice for me. But we can take what we know in God's word. We can take the message that we have and the hope that we have through Jesus Christ, and the power that comes from his name and his blood. And we can apply those things to our lives today. And we can tell anything and everything that says you're not worthy, you're always gonna be this, you're always gonna do that, you're always gonna be inclined, hogwash. you can say, no, I'm walking away from that, because my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has already nailed that to the cross, and I'm not taking it off. I'm not picking it back up. Lord, this morning, I'm thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I am thankful this morning, Lord, that he has paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. God, that within this new covenant and this new relationship, Lord, that we have with you, that God, we've been released, Lord, of everything that was committed under that first covenant. God, it holds no power over us today because of the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I pray this morning that as we are here in this moment, that Lord, those who would be struggling, Lord, with anything of a negative family history, God, anything that would be, God, negative in way of generational issues that seem to have plagued their family for generations. God, I pray this morning that every heart under the sound of my voice would realize that there is freedom to be found in your Son, Jesus Christ, this morning. And that if we choose not to take that forward in our life and we choose to leave it, God, at the foot of the cross, Lord, that it is done. It is over. It is finished. And Lord, we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old passes away, God, and everything begins to become new in you. Lord, do not let us live under the sins of our fathers. God, let us understand today that we can live in your forgiveness and your grace within that new covenant and that new relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.